Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Bobby from BobbyOnFire.com, and this morning is going to be a kind of a good program. John, the regular John, is here, as opposed to the irregular John. and Reva is here also, our retired fire chief, and we're gonna have quite a discussion with Reva specifically about the grassroots wildland firefighters nonprofit advocacy organization. That was a little practice to get that out. I'm going to say it again because I was proud of myself. Grassroots wildland firefighters nonprofit advocacy organization, and she's going to give us an update. But first, I want to mention, remind everyone, if you're not sick of hearing it from me already, my book, The Both Sides of the Fire Line, is out. It's available. You can get it at any of your local bookstores. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it online at Amazon, wherever you like it. But it's from Chicago Review Press. It's doing okay. It's getting good reviews. So I appreciate everybody's support with that. The other thing I want to mention is, now you might be listening to this a year from now, but right today it's March 22nd, 2023. Now next month, April of 23, I'll be speaking at the FDIC conference. That's the largest firefighter training conference in the country. They didn't have it for a couple of years because of COVID. But they are expecting, they think it might be the biggest conference they've ever had, you know, like 19,000-20,000 people.
Yikes.
Now there's classes all over the place. Obviously it's not one location, but that's gonna be the week of April 24th. The interesting thing for me, and hopefully for you that attend, on April 24th, that's the Women in Fire conference. That's Monday of that week, and I'll be speaking about leadership at the Women in Fire Conference. And then on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, 2 days later, I'll be speaking at the general, I'll be speaking to the whole group. I'm doing a class on leadership and diversity. And so I think both of those are going to be interesting. They're usually pretty entertaining. I get good comments back. I haven't been talked to by an HR person afterwards yet, so I figure that's a success.
There is still time,
but let's we'll keep it on the positive. So the Monday the 24th at FDIC at the Women in Fire Conference, I'll be speaking, and it has to do with mentoring and that sort of thing. And then later it'll be diversity and leadership on Wednesday. Okay, I got the commercials out of the way. So today, I want to take a few minutes because there's some important things going on right now in the world of wildland firefighters, federal wildland firefighters. And Reva, who, amongst all of her other talents as a retired forest fire chief and savvy operational person, she is also the vice president of the grassroots wildland firefighters. And she's in the middle of a lot of stuff that's going on, and there is a lot of stuff going on. And if you're a federal firefighter, you really ought to be paying attention to this. And so, and we're right in the midst of it. Today, March 22nd, 2023, we're right in the middle of some important and significant events. And so I'm going to let Reva just talk about it, and then I'll ask questions, even though I should know the answers to them. I'll ask her because I really don't know the answers to them, and we'll all learn a little bit. So Reva, I'm going to let you start it off.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for giving the platform over. And what folks need to know is Bobby is the secretary of Grassroots Wildland Firefighters. Now, she's new in that role. And she was, you know, we recruited her, but she's involved in this. And as she said, we're going to try and give answers, but caveat up front, we still don't have a lot of answers, but we'll talk about that. And I do want to put a plug in for our stakeholders meeting, quarterly meeting, which will be April 6th at 1730 Pacific time. Head over to grassrootswildlandfirefighters.com where you can register for the Zoom meeting. And hopefully we'll have more answers by that date. Gives us a little bit of time for the agencies to get back with us and we can talk about next steps. So plug in for there. But the big news right now is that there was a pretty large package included in the president's fiscal year 24 budget about a permanent pay raise, a lot of money towards mental health programs for both Forest Service DOI, again, the pay raise, DOI, Forest Service, and some other, like a pretty big boost to facilities maintenance, because we know housing has been a problem. Either it doesn't exist or the housing has been, you know, fallen into disrepair, money not used to maintain. So even the places that have had housing for temporary and permanent firefighters, a lot of it's pretty shitty. And the rates are really high. So there's money going towards maintaining and possibly building new facilities. So there's a lot in this package. I don't have the numbers in front of me, shame on me, but it's in the billions. That was the big news that came out. And do you want me to pause, Bobby, there for any questions? Or because I could keep talking.
Yeah, so in addition, so, you know, the questions that I think a lot of the firefighters have are about PDs and the scale and all of that stuff. So why don't you tell folks a little bit about where we are with that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks. So this package is separate. This is about pay, not about the series. So the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, BIL, is what legislated the new series. And so they're still working on that. It's the 456 series. They've done a big comprehensive PD review in both DOI and the Forest Service to look at what PDs would move into this new series. Now, the DOI is farther ahead of implementation. It kind of makes sense because they have many fewer fire employees and many fewer PDs. I think the Forest Service has upwards of 460, I think, PDs. And so they've just recently, I believe, finished the internal review.
So let me pause there for a second. For those of you who are not federal wildland firefighters, when we're talking about a PD, that's called a position description. You might be surprised to know, if you're not in the federal system, that our federal firefighters are not in a firefighter job series. They are in a forestry technician job series. And Department of Interior, their folks are in a range technician job series. Now, what that means is, if you are comparing, you know, the federal government, you know, they want to be able to compare apples and apples. So if you're an accountant, they want to make sure you're getting paid consistent with accountants on the outside. Well, there are no range technicians on the outside, and forestry technicians on the outside may be just doing stacking sticks, as we call it, you know, doing some fuels maintenance work. If the federal government had to pay our firefighters as firefighters, all of a sudden that comparison is going to be way out of whack. So that's the big issue for you non-firefighter folks is the PDs we're talking about, is that's the job classification you're in. Are you a firefighter or are you just some technician that goes out in the woods and collects samples or something? So that's a big deal. I just wanted to explain that, Reva, sorry.
No, that's good. And I know your audience is pretty broad, so that was great. And also, there are consequences of not being identified as first responders or firefighters, particularly when it comes to workers' comp claims. It's pretty easy to prove we were injured while on a fire when there are witnesses, you know, a burn injury, getting hit by a tree. But as far as contracting certain illnesses, certain cancers, cardiovascular diseases, it's been literally almost impossible to get a claim approved because we're not recognized as first responders, and that's like a loophole. And so that is another reason why it's really important to be recognized in that classification for the job that we do and the risks that we take on. So the series part, that's in the works. The Forest Service asked for an extension from the Office of Personnel Management because they were supposed to have all this done by June. They've asked for an extension to December, a 6-month extension. I believe it was granted, or at least it was approved by the secretary. I think it's just a formality to get OPM to sign off. And while that may sound frustrating, I think it's frustrating for a lot of people. According to the Forest Service Washington office, they need this extra time to make sure they get things right. So when this initially came out over a year ago, well, close to a year ago, there were some positions that were initially going to be left out of the series. And of course that created quite the uproar. Dispatch community is the biggest to lose. Some others in aviation, equipment operators. And so Grassroots has been kind of pushing back and talking about the unintended outcomes of leaving anybody out. And so the Forest Service is trying to listen, trying to learn, and trying to take more time to then figure this out. Now, the PD review they've done right now, as of we know it, this is not going to result in any kind of upgrades, you know, based on duties, experience, and skills needed in the 21st century, because a lot of these position descriptions are old. This first step is just kind of looking at the PDs to see if they fit at that grade level. Now, the Forest Service has said, and DOI has said in the future, they're going to look at this. That's called position management. And that is an arduous, heavy lift that will take much more time. So the intent, the immediate intent, is to just identify positions into the new series, and then down the road they will look at whether or not grades are correct, whether or not it captures a lot of the experience and skills needed and the duties and the risks that we take. So that's in the works. Now, caveat, DOI is kind of moving on that already, because as Bobby mentioned, well, they have a lot of their fire managers in a biologist series. And it's a professional series that requires undergraduate education. That has affected the DOI and the recruitment, because if a Forest Service person holds that same position or qualifies for it, you know, on experience and qualifications, if they don't have positive education requirements, then they can't qualify for that same job they do in the Forest Service. So that has really impacted the DOI agencies and their recruitment of people, for example, fire management officers and up. And so they're gonna start moving forward with moving into the 456 series sooner for some of those critical positions that they know they need to have a better pool of applicants. And they're gonna start doing that in April. And so that is just something they're able to do. Again, they have a smaller organization. They have a more critical need because of that. And the Forest Service managers weren't an administrative. So it's again, it's a catch-all, and we were put in there as a temporary hold for fire management officers and the like, and it doesn't require college education. So that's why the DOI is gonna be moving forward. So that's a very quick and dirty discussion about classification and series that is outside of what the current president's budget is, because it's covered under the BIL.
So, Reva, briefly, why don't you let folks know or give them a feeling for the complications of the budget and getting a budget passed, and in the current, you know, political climate, and how that affects all of us or all of the folks who are still working. Can you put a little light on that?
Yeah. So I've learned a lot about how the budgets, the national budgets and federal budgets work, and I still don't know a lot because it's really complex and very confusing, probably some of that by design. You know, it's bureaucracy, right? So the president always submits his or her budget, you know, ahead of time, about this time of year, and then Congress and Senate, the appropriations committees, then decide. They never have ever passed any president's budget intact, right? That's never happened. That's kind of a starting place where the sitting president would like to see. That's their wish list. This is if, you know, if they had all the power, this would get approved. And so the appropriations committees then go through this budget with a fine-tooth comb, decide what should stay in, what should stay out. There's a lot of negotiating, a lot of pork barreling, and a lot of sausage making behind the scenes. Now, we've been under a continuing resolution, and we even had to ask, like, if we remain under a continuing resolution, does that mean that this package for wildland firefighters can't go through? It does not mean that. They could decide, even if we stay under a continuing resolution, to still fund certain pieces. So they could decide that. Now, technically, they're supposed to approve the budget by April 15th, but again, that's not going to happen. It's going to get dragged out. We could end up under a continuing resolution. What the Washington Office, Forest Service, and Department of Interior would like to see, though, is that this package within the president's budget for wildland firefighters stay intact. Because another thing that the appropriation committee members could do is pull pieces of that out. Keep pieces in, pull pieces out. But we know it's all interwoven. I mean, all of these things are really important. We know the mental health piece is huge. We also know that pay is huge. Like, if people are struggling to make ends meet with pay, that affects mental health, right? And so these are so intertwined, and the USDA and DOI would like to see this package stay intact and not get pulled out piecemeal. We've kind of seen that with some of the things that were proposed in TIMS Act. So that's a message, right? But not everything, and I'm looking at our newsletter that just went out today, there's still a lot of unknowns. So there are things in this package that talk about pay and how much money and, you know, mental health, but we don't know a lot of the particulars. For example, there's a pay table, and it is on a sliding scale, so the lowest people get the higher boost, and then it gradually declines up to the highest levels, up to the GS-15 level. But we don't know what that looks like. We know that the initial bump at the lowest levels is 36% pay increase, and I think at the highest it's like 1.3 maybe. But we haven't seen anything in the middle. We've not seen this table.
Right.
And Grassroots has asked to see this, and it's not public yet.
So let me add to that. For a lot of the folks who maybe have been in the Wildland Fire Service for 10 years or something like that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or say what you're thinking, but I hear about folks saying this is so little and so late, and, you know, well, think of it from, you know, from my perspective, starting in 1974 when I was getting paid $3 an hour, we have been asking for these issues to be addressed for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And as the fire seasons were changing and the expectations on the workforce changed, and we were becoming a much more professional, much more, it was much more demanding, that's when everybody started realizing we needed to change the job series we're in. You know, what do we call ourselves? We need to change the pay to be more competitive. We've been watching people leave the organization. I started seeing it 15, 20 years ago. So this is a huge, this, even though it's slow, and it seems like it's glacially slow, this is big stuff. Now, to describe how big this is, 10 years ago, it would have been outrageous. It would have been unheard of for the Washington Office Fire Organization to set up and have conference calls with a employees group to talk about budgets and pay and job descriptions and that sort of thing. Now, Reva, how often is it, monthly or every other month? We have meetings now?
It's monthly, and those have been going on for, gosh, I think well over a year now, where we have a standing call on the second Wednesday of every month with Forest Service Washington Office and the Office of Wildland Fire, which is over the four DOI agencies.
That's huge.
Yeah. It's huge. And, you know, we recognize that, first of all, we're not going to accomplish a lot of things if we have a truly adversarial relationship, right? You don't attract bees with vinegar.
Yes.
I think I messed that up.
Anyway, we get the idea.
Yeah, we get the idea. And so, you know, they gave us a briefing. We had a, outside of our regular standing meeting, they gave us a briefing just for us, just for Grassroots Wildland Firefighters, for our executive board, before the president's budget was released. And then we were invited to a briefing with Secretary Vilsack, USDA briefing, for a handful of stakeholders. I mean, these are pretty huge, you know, because they don't have to do this, right? You know, and they also have asked us to be the voice for the field. And we have given them some hard truths and some things that they need to do better and tighten up on. And they do a pretty good job of listening, because they understand they're very far removed from the workforce. And even what they may hear from the regional office level, they're still far removed, right? And so we can bring a lot of those issues to them. And regarding the budget, they want our feedback on what's working, what's not. They want to hear what the field thinks about this. So these are, you know, this is kind of a big deal. And like Bobby said, I mean, I know for some people this still doesn't feel like enough, and I understand that, but this is historic. And I remember when I was on the National FMO Committee, and we would meet with Tom Harbor, our former fire director. You know, Tom was fighting just for a new series for probably 20 years and ran into all kinds of opposition, a lot of it internally within the Forest Service. And so we've been talking about a firefighter series for decades, just a series. And then I do remember him telling me a few years ago, he proposed portal to portal and pretty much almost got laughed out of the room by the regional foresters. Well, I wouldn't even say laughed. They were not laughing. They were not happy. And so, you know, we feel like, and our president Luke phrased this really well, this proposal is the anchor point, right? It may not go far enough. We don't know again. We haven't seen the pay table. But it's a huge historic step, and the acknowledgement to utilize, you know, $10 million just for mental health for fire. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And portal to portal, I didn't bring that up as part of the, when we were initially talking about the budget. That's huge. Now, it's not the CAL FIRE model. It's not a lot of the California models. Again, we don't have specifics, but from what we can tell. But one of the great things about it, this is for everybody who goes on assignment. This is for non-fire people. This is every position on assignment. Now, what does that look like at the home unit? What does this look like for dispatchers? We've asked those questions. We don't have answers yet. We're waiting on those answers, which they say they have. Now, they have to negotiate a lot of this with Office of Management and Budget, which they're still doing. And until the White House releases the actual particulars to the Hill, you know, we can't see this. And so hopefully that'll be done soon. And we're really hoping by the time our stakeholders meeting rolls around.
So, Reva, I'm going to probably wrap it up or summarize here a little bit. But generally speaking, I'd like folks to know that if they have the inclination, support the proposal for the budget for the agency as it is, as a whole. Because like Reva said, these things are interconnected. And you take one piece out of here, you know, and people start wanting to mess around with it, it's going to foul things up. So if you have an inclination to talk to your representative in Congress, do so, and keep in mind that yes, this isn't everything we want. This is a crack in the door open. This is
right.
The start of where we hope things can go. And additionally, none of this is going to make everybody happy. We are never going to get to a point, no matter what gets recommended, no matter what gets passed, some people are going to be happy, some people are not going to be happy, but we need to do better than we're doing, right? I think we can all agree that we have a long ways to go, And this is just the start.
Right. And I, you know, Congress could refuse to fund it. They could.
Right. Right.
You know, and we're going to stay on top of it. We've got some great journalists that support our cause. And at our, we're trying to set up on our website how all of you can contact elected officials. We're kind of wrestling with, do we have people contact their own elected officials, or do we focus on the Appropriations Committee? You know, we're talking about that internally. By our stakeholders meeting, we'll have something, and we'll make it easy on our website to do that. But you know, Grassroots Wildland Firefighters, our organization is not going away. We know even if this package got passed intact, there's still a lot more to come. There's still a lot of work to do, and we're gonna stay on it. But this is historic, and I don't think, you know, anybody would want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think we understand that, again, this is the anchor point to a more successful effort, and it's maybe step two or three past, you know, when President Biden provided the pay raise for the lowest entry level GS3s, right? That was kind of first, and then the BIL, maybe number two. And so this is just another step towards a lot of the reforms that are really needed.
Thanks, Reva. And folks, there are so many people involved with Grassroots that are behind the scenes. Some of them are your coworkers, some of them are friends, but there are a lot of people working on a lot of different projects. So get yourself involved and pay attention to what's going on. Talk it up with your coworkers. I think this is all positive, and I want to thank Reva for doing the amazing job she is, and as well as Luke, as the president. Reva has been pretty visible in testifying before Congress, and has made us all proud. And so I want to thank everyone for listening. Let's just keep our eye on this and hope we are successful. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later.